is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
See Live Off the Record with Trivago Lang is brought to you by Central Bank, City of Hope, Dunkin' Donuts, New Life, Pindertal, Prince Masters, RF Banking Trust, Raw Star Assurance, Southwest Plaza, and Star General. Insurance made simple.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Trivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Wednesday afternoon. I'm so glad you could join us. If you want to give us a call today on the show, the numbers to do so are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. That's 242-300-5720. You can catch us on Cable Bahamas, channel 969, or you can catch us on BTC Flow channel 612. That's Flow channel 612. Well, interesting. I had an opportunity to listen to the Prime Minister in the House of Assembly this morning, the Prime Minister in the Minister Assembly this morning, as he began the debate on the 2025-2026 budget. So for the benefit of all of you who may not be aware, when the Prime Minister presented his communication last week, he was essentially responding to that portion of the House agenda that deals with communications by ministers. And so when the speaker says communications by ministers, typically at this time of the year, that's when he would communicate his intention to lay on the House floor the estimates of revenue and expenditure for the upcoming year. So that's what he would have done. Ordinarily, that's not a controversial affair. He tries to be quite academic, quite succinct, and, you know, rarely just presenting the picture of the fiscal situation, because that communication is what lots of people all across the world and in the country will look at for their own business, professional, academic, analytical purposes. But then when the debate starts, it begins because he is now going to lay before the House the various, you see, the budget cannot be executed without passage by the Parliament. And that passage by the Parliament is a matter of law. Right, so the Prime Minister has to produce bills that request the parliamentarians to approve the Minister of Finance, I should say, only who happens to be Prime Minister, to approve the expenditure appropriations that he is seeking their approval for, and once you lay those bills, of course, there's going to be an occasion on which the speaker says, it has been laid on the table, moved and laid on the table, a bill for an act or X, Y, and Z, and then somebody's going to second that. And then on the second reading of the bill, there's going to be debate, right? So that now the debate in earnest begins. And now what happens is on the second occasion when he's doing that, not like the communications where he's not typically interrupted or that kind of occasion, there's going to be a debate, and he's going to be a little bit more feisty. Maybe a little bit more political with things, right? And so it was interesting to listen to the Prime Minister today to provide his commencement of the debate. He reiterates a lot of things he said in the communication. But this is essentially the pitch I got from the Prime Minister about the whole affair. We met an economy and a government finances in crisis. In his words, on the edge of a cliff. We pulled it off that edge. We pulled the economy off that edge. We pulled the government's finances off that edge. So much so that for the first time, and I want you to listen to the Prime Minister's language now. The Prime Minister's language is much clearer, much less ambiguous. And I have no doubt, I have little doubt, that that clarity was precipitated by some of the dialogue you heard on some of the issues, in particular this show, about how he presented the first time in his communication what was happening. The first time when he presented the communication, it sounded as if he had already achieved a surplus. That's what it sounded like. In this lead up to the debate, he said that we are forecasting, exact word, a surplus. Y'all stop underestimating your capacity to influence how your political directors operate. It's very much clearer now. So he says, we've met this cliff. The Minister Administration, the FNM put us on, and we've pulled you off that cliff, so much so now that we have a surplus. And let me tell you, Prime Minister is sharing, he is sharing that surplus up. The Prime Minister announced civil servants beginning the end of this month, the middle managers will get a raise. And then all the others will get a raise between 3 and 8%. Sugar, sugar, sugar. That's 22 plus 1,000 people to get a raise. And the Prime Minister announced just a host of things that they are doing for all manner of people, for business people, for young people, for artisans, and you know, just a host of people. And whenever he's talking about tax, any kind of fee or other increase or something like that, he always puts it in the context of the international persons. We want to get it from them. All right, he took great orders by enforcing compliance, you know, and so forth and so forth, even as we reduced the taxes on VAT from 12 to 10%. Now, so, and to be clear, a number of things that the Prime Minister indicated that he is doing are, in fact, clearly things that his administration is doing and has done. Okay, so this isn't a question of debating whether or not these things are being done or have been done. There has been a reduction in VAT from 12% to 10%. Across the board, except where they raised the VAT from 0 to 10% on a number of other items, which they are now putting the taxes back to 5%. But no one can deny that those taxes have been reduced across the board in other areas. So, you know, the prime minister talks about the $20.58 million for maintenance and expansion of public primary schools, $8.6 million for school ground improvement and digitization. I know I talk about that a lot. You always hear me talk about that on the, I wonder if they heard me on the show. They're providing $37.9 million in scholarships for University of Bahamas and BTVI and international studies, supporting UB and BTVI with an overall $52 million allocated in the upcoming budget. He talks about grants for the Central School for the Blind and the Stapleton. He talks about allocating $5 million for small home repairs and providing $2 million to continue the rent-to-own housing project. He talks about the $29.6 million allocated for social assistance to ensure food, shelter, and basic needs for most vulnerable people. He's investing $4.5 million to support small and medium-sized businesses. He talks about the allocation for the Royal Bahamas Defense Force. He talks about expanding CCTV. You know, you all cry about that a lot. And so you hear the prime minister saying that there's going to be support for expanding that program, et cetera. Now, I listened to the prime minister. I listened to his entire speech. I had to break a couple of times, but I have the speech, the written speech. Maybe I heard something. raises for the civil servants and all these tax breaks and what have you. You already think the prime minister is going to have another budget speech before election is called? You already think so? It's not only those things that the prime minister is doing in the budget, no. The prime minister took time out in his debate to go and get Michael Pintard's book, Politics, to use Michael Pintard's words in Politics, the book, a satirical book against Michael Pintard. The prime minister can be sharp when he's ready, but the prime minister doing, he's going to battle. The fight is on. I wanna point out a couple of things just around the budget. First, so a couple of times when the prime minister made statements about the economy that the opposition disagreed with, for instance, the prime minister continues to say we met the economy on a cliff. And, you know, it was a crisis, et cetera. He continues to say that. And the opposition gets up and says, no, you met an economy in recovery. Prime Minister says that the place was locked down, et cetera, when he came to office. The opposition gets up and says, well, that's not true. He says that the tourists were not coming in, this is what the prime minister is saying, and the opposition says that's not true. Now, before I get to that, in terms of the substance of that, because we've talked about that before, the opposition continued to get up in the House of Assembly on a point of order about those things. Wayne Monroe, the member of Parliament and Minister of National Security, and the leader of government business in the House, gets up to say that the opposition members are continuing to abuse points of order. He says because the points of order that they are raising are not points of order. They are, in fact, infringing on the privilege of members. And if the next time, and if they continue to do it, he will then refer the matter to the Committee on Privilege. And I have to tell you, that sounded very strange to me as somebody who has sat in the House of Assembly. Because if there is a reason to rise on a point of order. It is to rise when someone appears to be misleading the parliament, right? When you offer an untruth, somebody believes to be an untruth, a non-factual something, etc., and somebody wants to correct that, well, I mean, like, a point of order is not to stop a member from misleading the parliament. I found that kind of strange. And so what is a member supposed to do if somebody gets up and says something that they believe to be untrue, that they believe to be misleading, the word you can't use in parliament, right? What are you supposed to do? You rise on a point of what? There's no point of clarification. There's no point of correction. What is a point of order? If you are breaching a rule, now see, Alfred Sayers got up, and I agree with Mr. Sayers. He got up to say that, you know, when you rise on a point of order, you should say what rule in the House has been infringed. And I would be surprised if there is a rule in the House, there's not a rule in the House that says a member shouldn't mislead the parliament. I'd be shocked if there's not such a rule in the House of Assembly. And if you say something that is untrue, then you are misleading the parliament. And if you believe that somebody's saying something that's untrue, that's the point. You get up on a point of order to make to draw attention to the fact and to request the speaker to consider the matter and make a ruling on the same. But I do agree opposition members typically do not get up and say, Madam Speaker, I rise on a point of order. And I believe that rule blah, 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 and blah says that the members of the House should not mislead the House. And I want to point out that the member in saying what the member is saying is misleading the House. I think that's an appropriate thing to be done. Right? The Prime Minister doesn't want to concede it. It's up to him. He doesn't have to concede it. That's up to him. Nobody can stop him. But the factually incorrect on the condition of the economy when he came to office. He is factually incorrect. It is untrue. Let me back up. It is factually incorrect that the economy was locked down. That is factually incorrect. You can look at the tourist numbers and see that is factually incorrect. He indicated that they met an economy in crisis. Even on one occasion said it was contracting, and that's not true. He met an economy in robust recovery. Robust recovery, in fact. Every year since the Prime Minister has come to office, the economy of the Bahamas in real terms has slowed down. Slowed. That's not Shivago Lang's opinion. That is a fact of the numbers. And it's not even a criticism of the Prime Minister. It is an actual expectation of what ought to have happened from an economy that had been voluntarily turned down to an economy voluntarily turned up. So this isn't a question of whether F&M is right or wrong. It is factually incorrect. The Prime Minister, for instance, points to the 2020-2021 deficit at $1 billion. Man, the economy was locked down and was in a pandemic. Every economy in the world pretty much suffered that fate, right? That's what's all on the line. Go ahead, caller, we're listening to you. Hi, go ahead, caller, we're listening to you.
Shivago.
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, good afternoon, how you doing?
Good, man, and yourself?
I'm doing okay, thank you. How you doing?
Y'all was giving away all the goodies today, Anton. Giving away all the goodies today. Raise for the civil servants. Raise for the civil servants.
Chivago, listen, Chivago. You know, let me thank you first and foremost for continuing on your edition of the fiscal budget 2024-2025 wrap-up and 2025-2026 budget presentation, right? And highlighting what you have highlighted so far. I want to add a few things to the conversation and then make a few comments. I believe that Prime Minister Davis, I was in tears listening to the budget, as I also listened, like you, very attentively to all he had to say. I listened to his entire occasion, and even when I had to move away, I didn't miss a beat, right? And, you know, some of the big things that I heard coming out of there towards the single biggest block of employees in the country being the civil service. Two of them you highlighted being the middle management can expect their increase, right? Which will take effect immediately. Everyone else will expect their increase, as you pointed out, 3 to 8%. But Chivago, the Prime Minister also made another huge announcement for the civil service, which is the health insurance.
Definitely.
The health
for everybody.
Chivago,
everybody.
That is huge. Let me tell you how huge that is.
So right now, the police, nurses,
all have been fighting for it.
No. They get it now.
Right.
And guess what
that
costs?
They've been fighting for it.
Guess what that costs the government of the Bahamas annually right now? Just that group of people.
I don't remember the number, so I don't want to guess right now.
$40 to $50 million.
Right. Let me add this to that point right there, Chivago. You can hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
As you know, as a former Minister of State for Finance, as an economist, as a business person, as someone of intelligentsia in this country, you would also know that the more people you add to a policy or a group plan in terms of your overall premium.
Yeah, the premium definitely can probably be negotiated, but don't let nobody fool you, bro. That's going to be an expensive undertaking.
It is an expensive undertaking, I agree. However, what I also agree to is when the government, which I'm certain they would have done, analyzes their overall cost otherwise to the government, it's probably a lot more expensive than it would be.
Anton, let me tell you something. So here's what I know. This is not what I think. This is what I know. The government of the Bahamas, because the commitment to undertake the insurance for those uniformed persons, I don't remember who started it. I'm inclined to believe we started it, but I'm not sure about that.
Okay.
Anyways. That $40 million that you heard me speak about, let me be honest with you, bro. Let me be honest with you. I ain't speaking about what I think. The government has struggled to pay that.
Okay.
Struggled to pay it.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm only warning you, brother. I don't care how much analysis or the first of all, you can't say it cost you anything on this side if you don't have no insurance, because you don't bear any cost for people's medical expenses outside of their access to the public health system, which you pay for already.
Well, NHI would have been a good starter for the government to give them good information and good intelligence.
Listen, man, I'm not trying to spin for anybody. I'm not trying to help anybody. And you and I don't even need to negotiate this point. The fact of the matter is, it is huge, as you said.
Huge.
But I want to tell you, the small portion it is today has been a burden for the government to pay.
Understood.
Okay? A burden. Understood. To the extent that the arrears, when I was in office, I ain't talking about it, nobody else time. When I was in office, The arrears had built up significantly, and we were getting the calls from the people to say, listen, man, you all have to put something on it.
Chivago, I could go on. I could go on to the other place.
Yeah, carry on. Hurry.
Thank you.
We got to take a break at 2:45. That's why I say hurry.
Oh, boy, I ain't gonna have enough time, Chivago. But anyway, with your permission, I'd like to carry on the next side, please. But I'll go as quickly as I can with the last minute and a half I have. Chivago, when I say the PM was Prime Minister Davis and Minister of Finances in top form, I say that because the Prime Minister took on several issues that was in discussion since he made his initial communication, right? The Prime Minister took a very firm stance to opposition leader, to the opposition, Shadow Finance Minister, the opposition as a whole, and to the country, that when he speaks as the Minister of Finance and when the professionals behind him, inclusive of his Minister of Economics, the Honorable Michael Alkitas, his Financial Secretary, Simon Wilson, his Economics Advisor, and the entire Ministry of Finance staff, when they come together, they don't take it lightly, the information that they put into the public domain and into the stratosphere, which foreign direct investors, international investors, and domestic investors will be looking to, scrutinizing, in order to make determinations.
But what's the point though, Anton? Because even with that said, he has put out information that could be queried, questioned. Some of it has been incorrect. I ain't asking nobody. Listen, man, I could sit down for hours on this show and point them out.
Okay, so going on with a little bit of time left, I also appreciated that the Prime Minister took the opportunity to address I listened to the opposition when the Shadow Minister of Finance, Kwesi Thompson, and then followed by the opposition leader, Mr. Pintas. They spoke to the F&M back in 1999 and 2001. At two times, they said that the F&M had a balanced budget on the recurrent side and a surplus.
Actually, surpluses on the recurrent side.
And a surplus, right? And the Prime Minister, as well as the Minister of National Security, took issue with that and provided them with the details which suggested
they were saying two different things. And the intervention by the Prime Minister and the intervention by Wayne Monroe were both correct. There has never been a balance on the overall budget. That is a fact. No, they didn't go further. I listened to that exchange. Anton, listen to me, man. We can take a break. We can take a break. We have to take a break. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back after this break. You're listening to Z Live.
Living paycheck to paycheck, at Fidelity, we can help you take control of your money, build savings, and create a financial future you're proud of. And we'll do it free of charge. Transform your financial future with our coaching sessions today. Make that move. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Looking for insurance that fits your lifestyle and your budget? At Star General Insurance, we've got you covered. Whether it's motor insurance with flexible options for third-party liability and comprehensive coverage, or commercial insurance products that protect your business, we have choices you can afford. Own a home or renting? Our home insurance products have just what you need. And for the adventurers out there, too, visit our website or social media pages for contact information and quotes. Star General, insurance made simple.
Southwest Plaza has so many stores, I've been trying to find a sensible way to list them all. There's CBS Bahamas, the Ashai Institute, BENC Snack World, Bamboo Shack Bahamas Air, the Athlete's Foot, NBTC, Games and More, John Bullfine, Threads Alive, Bahari, Dairy Queen, 700 Wines and Spirits, Sandy's, Clarkson Island Luck, Starbucks and Lowe's Pharmacy, plus Marco's Pizza and Lorraine. Southwest Plaza, what a wide array of stores. Southwest Plaza, stop by today and explore.
Winning on the court, just like investing, is about consistency and having the right partner. With RF's Advantage Plus brokerage account, you get exclusive access to high return securities, some yielding up to 7%, plus expert investment guidance. No need to chase every opportunity. We deliver priority trading, exclusive investments, and the lowest commissions, so you can focus on what matters most. Sign up for an RF Advantage Plus brokerage account today at rfgroup.com. RF Bank and Trust. Money at work.
Ready to talk to someone about your health and receive the personal attention you deserve? Imagine having clear thinking and energy every new life. A health store featuring electric cell foods to cleanse and replenish the body, plus an alkaline deli and on-site consultations. New Life, your alternative to disease. Located in the Independence Drive Business Park on East Street South. Visit newlifebahamas.com or call 323-6080 or 1.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. I think we got Anton back. Go ahead, Anton. Anton, go ahead.
Thank you, Shivago.
Anton, let me explain something to you. I'll be honest with you, right? About this.
Please.
So there are lots of things that the PM spoke of. And as I said, irrefutable things, things about what he has done. There's no question about that.
Right.
On the issue of the economy, the fiscal performance and history of the country, the PM can be strongly debated. I mean, I'm not even debated as in my opinion on this or my opinion on that. It's just easy, right? Like because the numbers are what the numbers are, and the numbers are what the government produces.
Right.
Okay, for instance, the Prime Minister says when he came to office, he wanted to grow the economy.
Right.
The economy was already growing. Remember, this was an economy turned down.
Right. Can I add something in now?
Sure.
Okay. I mean, you had this discussion before, I remember distinctly, Shivago. What the Prime Minister elaborated on, because I remember him focusing in on that particular topic or conversation at the time. And he went on to express four areas of focus for the government, right?
No, Anton, stop, hold on. Seriously. I want to give you the time. Like,
right.
But this is a show. I try to educate people. Fact number one, the economy of the Bahamas in 2021, the year after the peak of the 10% in real terms, grew.
Can I ask you a question, Tobago?
The Bahamas the last time I saw that kind of growth? was
Can
in,
I ask
the,
you a question?
In the 70s. Yeah.
Okay. Just a question based on what you were saying. Now, I know that the fiscal budget in every cycle begins June 1st, correct?
Yeah.
I mean, July 1st,
yeah.
Correct?
Yeah.
July 1st. We had an election, so let's say July to August to September. So we would have had an election pretty much 2 months into the new fiscal cycle, correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which means, in essence, Shivago, in that 2021...
No. You did not have an election 2 months into the fiscal cycle. The fiscal cycle would have began, listen to me, in July, on July 1, 2020. And it would have ended June 30th, 2021, right?
Right.
And then you
right.
had then you had that then you had a new one in July
cycle.
Of 2021. So you had
right.
July, August, September.
Right. 2 months.
Right now. If you want to tell me, okay, if you're trying to say, well, the growth of the economy in the fiscal year was
right.
two different things, that doesn't play. Doesn't play. Okay, the Department of the Bahamas National Statistical Institute records the calendar year growth of the economy.
Right.
So from January to December of 2021, the economy
right.
of the Bahamas grew 14%. Eight of those months were in the Minister's administration.
Okay.
I don't know why it is necessary to argue this point here. Not for you, but I'm just saying there is nothing wrong with the Prime Minister of the Bahamas indicating that he met an economy in recovery. And he continued that recovery. He continued that recovery.
Let me ask you another question based on what you're explaining, right, Shivago?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
And so I get what you're saying, 8 months of that fiscal year. That the Department of
calendar year.
The Department of Statistics records the January
yes.
to December
mm-hmm.
8 months was
mm-hmm.
in the then government's calendar year
yeah.
4 months
yeah.
was in the new government's calendar year
yeah.
right
yeah mm-hmm.
and the Prime Minister highlighted today that the government realizes the biggest portion of its revenue. I'm not certain what percentage.
Now, this isn't about revenue. See, this isn't about revenue. Government revenue comes from taxes. If you look at the GDP formula, the GDP formula, actually government taxes is a reduction to the growth. Reduction. Because that portion of the formula is T, taxes is G minus T.
That's why we say
taxes are in fact deflationary on the economy.
Right. So help me understand this, then, Shivago. Based upon mm-hmm. what the Minister of Finance said, based on this same point what you want right now, right? Perhaps you can bring some more clarity to it. That was brought up in Parliament. And I recall PM, Minister of Finance, stating that in this instance, where the member of parliament for St. Anne's brought that point up, the Prime Minister said that the reduction in back tax from 12% to 10% actually put more monies in the pockets of Bahamians and allowed for them to create or expand spending.
Yeah, but that has nothing with accounting for the growth of the economy in the calendar year, because his taxes didn't take place. His cuts didn't take place until January of the following year.
January.
It didn't. It wasn't immediate. He came to office in September. He didn't do that in October. He did it in October, November, and it came into effect in January.
So looking at the same premise, the Prime Minister would have been speaking to his fiscal year and not the calendar year
Anton, listen to me, man. Come on, folks, you're listening to me. This is simple fact. Okay? The Prime Minister met an economy in recovery. Period.
I'm not
disagreeing.
Period.
And that recovery slowed every year from he came to office. Every year that recovery slowed. But that's not unusual. That's not unusual. We understood that that would happen. You may not be disputing it, Anton, but the Prime Minister's narrative does not say that.
However, what I'm saying, Shabago, and you can correct me if you see that I'm wrong in what I'm saying, based upon what the Minister of Finance said in Parliament today, right, which I agree with him and I support what he said wholeheartedly, and feel free to correct myself if I'm wrong in my belief of what the Minister of Finance said. When the Prime Minister, as a matter of fact, the Minister of Economic Affairs also said it, the government, when you look at the government's formula for what they applied when they became the government, right, or when they formed government, September 2021, and you look at the fact that they reduced part from 12% to 10%, down to 5% on breadbasket items, prescription medication items, and all food items, inclusive of healthy food. Michael Alkitis, the Honorable, and Philip Brave Davis, Prime Minister, the Honorable, both said that the government's net benefit is showing that there is an increase in the government's revenue
But we're not having a discussion about revenue, bro. We're not having that discussion.
In addition to that, was a part of what I started to say initially. But we only paused because you were trying to explain to me.
Because I want us to be. I know what the Prime Minister said. Most people who listen to him listen to what he said, right?
Right. But this is my takeaway. So if I can finish those other 3 points that I got from the Prime Minister.
No, we got to go to the news break. And honestly, if I have other callers, we can take other callers, right?
Okay, can I have one more minute before I go, or 30 seconds?
No, but it's 3 o'clock for the news break. It's 3 o'clock right now. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break for news. And when we come back, we'll continue our discussion. We'll be back after the news break.
Take a stand, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand, we'll walk this road together, through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone, holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. We're talking about the Prime Minister's comments in the lead off to the debate on the 2025-2026 budget. Let me read some of your comments and then I'm going to make some other points, right? And I, producer, I don't really want to take any calls for a minute. I'll let you know when, because I want to make some points, okay? Very important points. This text says, good day, Mr. Lang. Tell that caller no more time for him. He wants to call all the talk show and talking to the same thing all day. Tell Anton to apply for a talk show. You know, I give Anton time when he calls in and he is critical of his administration. I give him time. And so if he calls now and he wants to make some comments, I'm going to give him the same time. I don't want to be unfair about that. Okay. I won't let him lose all the time, but I apologize for letting him have some time. I just will push back when I hear something that I think needs to be pushed back against. So let Anton know it was 8.5 months on the Menace administration in 2021, which was until September 15. Yeah. Okay. This text says, as MP expressed, an MP expressed a view that backbenchers are not happy with the support they've received in their constituencies. I can't imagine a day this would happen, but if it did, what would be the consequence of all the backbenchers voting as a bloc against the budget and producing a clear statement of the projects they wanted there for their constituencies? At the end of the day, is there anything that would hold a PM to such a negotiated budget? If his budget fails, he has to go to the election. That's what asks something. you the government, your government, and your budget fails, and please, you call election. Say no. I think they're trying to create a euphoria build up for a general election. This text says, I'm waiting to hear the announcement of a free car for every citizen. This show is about the government is doing, but never one day a show about the lackluster leadership of the opposition in and out of the House of Assembly. This government has managed this economy very well, and the same is communicated by all the rating agencies and IMF banks, but you continue to downplay their achievements daily. Anyone who doesn't know better would think we have the best opposition ever in Parliament. Okay. Well, you obviously don't understand what my responsibility is here on this show, and you obviously don't live in the same world I live in. You live in a different world. You want somebody to do your job. You want me to be a promoter. That's not my job. I'm not a promoter for the FNM or the PLD. Because if I was being a promoter for FNM, I'd be promoting what they are doing in and out of the House Assembly, wouldn't I? But I understand, man. You all are hurt. I understand. See, it's amazing that the administration seeks to take credit for any good thing but reject credit for the bad. If the Davis administration seeks all the credit for the economic recovery of 2021, they cannot then say that they have only had 3 years or so to fix a myriad of other issues. All administrations should be more balanced in their claims, because voters are smart enough to sort out the truth in any case. That's the point place where I want to jump off right there. Because that's really my aim. See, you had a text who texted before. He or she is a PLP. They want me to say something that helps the PLP. FNM's texted me when Alfred Sayers was on the show and said, I'm waiting for you to hold him accountable for this and the surplus and that and the next thing. That's what they want. I'm not interested in any of that stuff. Because I'm not trying to big up the FNM. I'm not trying to big up the PLP. I'm not trying to put down the PLP. I'm not trying to put down the FNM. I'm trying to help people understand things. But I am offended. I'm literally offended when I see people push out a narrative that does not accord with the facts. I just, especially if you're persistent with it. If you get corrected and you go, you know what? No, let me fix that. Maybe let me put it this way. I'm good. But when I see you push out a narrative, and now you know what I think to myself? This is what I think to myself. I think you look at people and say, you know what? You are too dumb. You are too stupid to know better. And I'm going to do something and keep saying it because you're going to hate and soak it up because I say so. I dislike that tremendously. Hate it. I hate it. I don't like it. It's deception, and I don't like it. From anybody, FNM or PLP, I told you all before. When I was in opposition, the Department of Statistics put out some labor numbers when Mr. Christie was in office. I got calls from FNM saying, Shivago, we don't believe that the numbers were good. They look good. And because it's state of the economy, people thought that just don't seem right. Oh, Shivago, we need you to speak out about this because that doesn't look right. I told them, no, I will not do so. Why? I don't calculate and assess labor in the Bahamas. I don't do that. I have no qualifications to do that. I said, that is the job of the Department of Statistics. That they have a professional methodology that they employ to do that. I said, and then secondly, if you come to office to get your labor statistics, if you start cussing the Department of Statistics. Okay, so I don't want y'all sleep. This is not no new Chicago. I believe in facts. I believe in truth. I believe in uncertainty when you have it. Okay? No matter how it is stated, the economy of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas began a robust recovery under the Menace administration. That's a fact. So in fact, the Prime Minister says that one of his goals when he came to office was to grow the economy, right? So can I tell you guys that the Bahamian economy since 1961 has contracted only, meaning registered negative growth. In 2009, following the Great Recession, and 2020 in the pandemic. Now, it may have had slowed growth, but slowed growth is not the same as no growth, right? So when I say contraction, I mean negative growth. It has had slowed growth many times. It has had slowed growth about as many times as it's had accelerated growth. In fact, if you look at the Bahamas' growth from 1961, you see just up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down. You seldom see periods of up, 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 up. There have been some, but it's seldom. So producing growth for the Bahamian economy is no feat. It's not. Our economy grows. Sometimes that growth is faster, sometimes that growth is slower. This economy, thank God, seldom produces contractions as in negative growth. Right? So there's really no no challenge with growth for us. The challenge for us is adequate, sustained growth. Elusive for many administrations. In fact, the most sustained, robust growth we've had outside of the 1970s, the early 70s, and late 60s, has been really in the 90s. Right? Why do I need a narrative that says I met an economy not growing? That's clearly not true. Even if Dr. Menace had won re-election, Dr. Menace couldn't take credit for the 14% growth. He could take credit for presiding over it. But if you turn an economy down and you don't damage it, when you turn it up again, it's going to rise back to its level, right? So the Prime Minister can surely say, when we came to office, the economy was recovering. If he wanted to. I mean, he will not say that. He will not say that. It was the economy was recovering. We kept that recovery going. And then he can say, based on the numbers, that to date, based on BNSI's numbers for 2024, we actually have achieved growth of our economy. And I think he mentioned this in his thing, that exceeds the 2019 pre-pandemic growth. real growth. And that is true. I just don't understand it. Like, why it is necessary to set up a narrative that does not accord altogether with the facts. Because it doesn't take away, because doing so wouldn't take away from your own achievement. And I call it an achievement because it did happen under your watch. Right? But in point of fact, when the pandemic ensued, both the IDB, the IMF, Shivago Lang and others said, by 2024, we expected the economy to get back to pre-pandemic activity levels. We expected that. We didn't know who was going to be the government. It didn't matter. Because we knew that once there was nothing that was going to stop this economy from going back to its level. No new policy did that. We get rid of the curfew, didn't do that. Getting rid of curfew didn't do that. The economy of the Bahamas was opened up to visitor travel prior to the election of 2021. That's a fact. I mean, why do we have to dispute that? Why do we need to put the Bahamian public in a scenario where they are confused about the truth, about something they live? They live that. I was traveling, other people were traveling, tourists were coming into the country. How else? Think about this now. If you had a lockdown and the tourists were not being allowed to come in, why do you then say that you got rid of the visas? what were you getting rid of the visas? Right? You only needed a visa for travel. And the tourists were using the visas. Y'all remember those news stories where tourists were at this hotel or that hotel and being asked questions about their stay and so forth, so forth? How was that happening if you were locked down? Dr. Minnis and those had already announced by November that they would have been lifting any remaining curfew. Any remaining. The curfew wasn't all over the country anymore. It is important for those persons who participate in the political leadership of the country to speak to the country. That's all I'm saying. It's important for that to happen. You don't want anything else. It doesn't matter if you're FNM, PLP, or otherwise. You want to speak the truth. I said the same thing. And Dr. Minister was in office. Right? It just doesn't matter to me who it is. But I know what's going on. I know what's happening. I know the importance of narratives to ensuring that people are trying to get people to buy into your message. Right? I understand that, but still. So when the opposition got up and challenged the prime minister on some of that statement, they were absolutely appropriately doing so. And when Kwesi Thompson got up and started talking about the surplus on the recurrent side, and Prime Minister and Wayne Monroe said to him, no, but we're not talking about surpluses on the recurrent side. We're talking about the overall balance. They were absolutely correct to point that out to him, because they were talking apples and oranges. No opposition member could get up and claim that the FNM ever did what the Prime Minister is doing now in the upcoming budget. No government of the Bahamas, no administration has ever presented to Parliament a overall surplus budget as the Prime Minister is doing. None. And that's a fact. Now, we could argue, there are lots of outstanding bills and payments that they have to pay. And that's true. That's actually a legitimate argument. But that doesn't change the fact that the Prime Minister is labeled tabling in Parliament for the first time a surplus budget. It's a fact. And it is, there's nothing correct Now, how the budget performs, well, that's a different story. Right? But I don't argue with the Prime Minister and Minister of Finance that he is tabling a historic, for the first time, surplus budget. And he said it, it's a forecast. He's forecasting it, and he laid out before Parliament all of the reasons why it's helpful and useful to have a better situation in terms of balance and surpluses. He talked about the fact that it would give the prospect of a credit rating increase, absolutely, if the credit rating agencies buy into the numbers, if they buy into it. It would give you better borrowing terms. If the people who lend to you buy into that, it will mean more fiscal room in the event that something happens. The Prime Minister laid all of those things out, rightly so. But just as I can on those matters which he has brought to the table, factually, why would I not point out, no, Prime Minister, it's not true that you met an economy on the fiscal cliff or on the economic cliff. That's not so. And he and all of us ought to thank God that that was not so. This text says, hey, Shivago, in all respect, that caller was correct. You are a pro-FNM and a politician. To come from a ministerial position in a previous government administration to a radio show host is somewhat regressing for you. No? Man, you're talking stupidness, man. Ask me sensible questions, right? You're talking stupidness, man. Regressing? Are you serious? I do this because I want to. Regressing? I get an opportunity to talk to the mainland public every day and teach, share, encourage, and that's regressing? You really need to ask yourself some questions. You think this is the only thing I do? Or you don't know what else I do? So, Mr. Lang, I wish more people, I don't know if he's a PLP or not. You know Obie Welchcombe used to be on the show too, right? The late Obie Welchcombe, yeah. I guess that's regressive. You know, Leslie Miller, former minister, also sometimes participates on the show. That's a very ignorant question, to be honest with you. Very ignorant. This text is, Mr. Lang, I wish more people would listen to you on this matter. As a people, we are so party-oriented that many don't want to see the facts of what happened. You know, the facts get in the way sometimes. The Prime Minister said that to Michael Pintadden today. He said, they don't want the truth to get in the way of their narrative, and that's true. Sometimes all the sides don't want to do that. So can you tell us why can't people in the House of Assembly use the word lie? But there are some words regarded as offensive and unparliamentary language. So that's the term, unparliamentary language, and lie is one of them. So it's better for you to say that's a falsehood or it's an untruth, etc. It's just a custom of acceptable language in the House of Assembly, so that it's supposed to be a chamber of decorum and professionalism and honorableness. That's really the idea. This text is all the good things announced in the budget. You're speaking all day on the negative point. This is what you used to do daily. Yep, and you're a PLP, you hurt. Why don't you talk to me? You're so smart. You have an opportunity to have me read your text. And rather than tell me what the Prime Minister said good, you taking time to criticize me, and you don't see something wrong with that? You don't think that that just shows you something about yourself? Right? I mean, that's just incredible. In fact, you couldn't have listened to me. I talked about what the Prime Minister said he's doing. He's giving raises to the civil servants. I read from his speech the things he said he's doing. I read from his speech. But see, this is how some of you guys are. And I call you out as some. I read, literally read the Prime Minister's comments about the things his administration is doing. Read I know you're hurt. And you want me to get up here and do what you're doing and what you're not doing well. Sorry, buddy, I can't help you. So this text is you letting PLP operative take over your showtime? You may not want that. So like the PM said, growth started after the open country up. Why can't you just admit? Why can't I just admit this is a good budget? You do this because good budget is bad news for the FNM. You a PLP. You want me to do your job. And this is what you should do. You should just tell me. Why are you getting on me bad? What you want me to do? You want me to stop the show? I can't help you on man. I'm sorry. I understand. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to Z Live. I'm Chicago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we'll continue our discussions. We'll be back after this break.
Everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm. Send you know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Cancer Treatment Centers of America is now City of Hope, creating one of the leading cancer care and research networks from coast to coast, providing more of what you need. More locations means more care closer to home. More specialists means more expertise. More research means more breakthroughs. More advancements means more treatment options. And more options means more hope. Learn more at cancercenter.com.
Living paycheck to paycheck, take control of your money, build savings, and create a financial future you're proud of. And we'll do it free of charge. Transform your financial future with our coaching sessions today. Make that move. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Ready to talk to someone about your health and receive the personal attention you deserve? Imagine having clear thinking and energy every day. Welcome to New Life, a health store featuring electric cell foods to cleanse and replenish the body, plus an alkaline deli and on-site consultations. New Life, your alternative to disease, located in the Independence Drive Business Park on East Street South. Visit newlifebahamas.com or call 323-6080 or 1.
Guardian Media Group and Going Places Travel wants to take you on a 7-day cruise for four to Panama, Colombia, Curacao, and Aruba on Royal Caribbean Serenade off the seas. And here's the best part. No visa required. That's right. No visa required. You have four ways to enter, four ways to win. Number one, fill out the form in the NASA Guardian. Number two, listen to Star 106.5 and Guardian Radio 96.9. Number three, follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Number four, or make a purchase at any. Entry deadline is June 27th, 2025. Drawing will be taking place on July 4th, 2025. So you know what that means? Pack your bags and get ready to soak up the sun and feel the ocean breeze. You and three loved ones sailing the high seas on a vacation cruise brought to you by the Guardian Media Group and Going Places Travel. Certain conditions apply, airfare, taxes, and gratuities not included.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Wow. welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. This text says, Mr. Lang, please, for the sake of your good listeners, ignore the negative PLPs and continue to educate the 95% of your listeners. I will say that I am better educated in many things because of your show. I thank you for that. I told you all before, the election season having come upon us, you can expect all sides to have their operatives do the necessary to try to shift of every public forum that exists. Every show, you will expect it. Right? That's you've been around this game long enough, you know that's going to happen. My interest is in the facts. That's my interest. In the truth. That's my interest. However it come across, however it come out, however it, wherever it lands, too bad, too sad. Right? That's all I can do. You know, the Office of the Prime Minister has the opportunity to call on all of these shows and get its message out, etc. And it does. It does do so. Right? And so there's no limited opportunity for that to happen. Right? And so we're going to continue to observe, comment, and child, if your feelings getting hurt, my suggestion is when 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock comes, shut it down. Tell me, I ain't listening to that dude. Nobody, I think, could blame you. You have a right to not have your ears insulted by things you don't agree with or you don't like. Says, good day, Lang. Is there any way to block trash and listen to sensible people? Those who choose a party but speak truth to when it's supposed to. Right is right and wrong is wrong. I told you a waste of mine is a terrible thing to waste. Yeah, but people gotta get elected, people gotta stay elected, and so they do what they have to do. I do want to note that this debate, as Anton said, in fine form. I do want to note that. And he, the Prime Minister, insofar as the narrative he was putting forward was moving on all cylinders. Right? I mean, he was careful to essentially try to hit every constituency out there. He talked about the budget that is for every island. So all islands get to say, I'm involved. He talked about what was being done for civil servants and all of them, raised for civil servants. Oh, hallelujah, bless the Lord. He talked about what was being done for small and medium-sized businesses. He talked about the tax cuts for consumers. And so he was focused on having everyone hear themselves in his budget dialogue and in the efforts of his administration. Right? Hey, I was watching as the Prime Minister spoke, and it's amazing how the more things change, the more they stay the same. Because I remember when we were in office, and we would give budget presentations and we would say some things that we thought were positive for the baby people. Our side would clap on the desk, etc. And the opposition would look like they would look stoic or sad somewhat, right? And then someone from my minister, Ingram, or others would say, see, what happened to y'all, man? You can't celebrate what's good for the Bahamian people. It's not good for y'all. Same thing happened today. Same thing. Prime Minister announcing these positive things that he wants to do, whether for the civil servant or for businesses or for scholarships and the like. And he looks on the face and the others look on the face of the opposition or look at the opposition. They go, what happened? No point of order. No, you don't get up. No smiles. What's good for the people ain't good for y'all. Same thing. Like nothing new in the whole process. And I always wonder about that, because let me ask you a question, right? So if an administration truly, like if an administration is doing well, very well, like to do. What's an opposition supposed to do? I tell you what I think a good opposition is supposed to do. Commend, acknowledge the wellness. But if you ain't perfect, point out where you ain't perfect also. And suggest how even for the things you're doing well, they could do better. Because we would be better off with a government doing well and an opposition that could do better than for two sets of people who are really only about the business of saying now the two of them lousy. But I understand that feeling that happens if you think that the government is saying or doing things that might gain it ground. What happens is in the opposition's stomach, you get that sinking feeling. Like the spells are doomed. But I've seen how occasions where you brag about yourself, which we did, and tell people what you did, and, you know, blah, 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 and blah. And you go to the election and they tell you, yeah, thank you very much, but you all need to go. So you don't know what, I don't think when you are governing, I don't think it's about, like, if like you have, you probably, you'll be focused on elections, but you just have to govern for results that are material in the lives of people. I mean, that's what you have to do. You better hope that those results are truly being experienced by people. And if you're in opposition, you have to be careful that you aren't going to try to make promises or suggest things just because you're in opposition that you won't be able to deliver when you become the government either. Because all we do is go right back into the cycle, right back in the same cycle of people being disappointed, discouraged, and then wanting change again. Same thing. This text says, good afternoon. Is it safe to say that this current administration did absolutely nothing with regard to the recovery of the economy? If COI was the government, something would have happened. So that's a very good question, actually. So here is how I would answer that. That unless you did something foolish to cause tourists to be put off by coming to the Bahamas, or cause business people to be put off by operating in the Bahamas, foreign or domestic, to cause consumers to be unable to afford or spend what they had, unless you did any of those things, anyone who came to office could have ridden the economy into improvement over time. Anyone could have. In other words, your task would have had to be not to get in the way of the economy, as opposed to, yes, what I have to do to get the economy rolling. That's a fact. You know, we were not alone in the economic recovery experience, you know. Everybody in the region experienced that economic recovery was better and robust for many of the people close to the U.S. markets. So what we say, all us had the same policies? No. But it is to the credit of an administration that it did not get in the way of a recovery. That's to its credit. And it is to the credit of the administration, the Davis administration in this instance, that it now has numbers that says that the economy is growing better than pre-pandemic. That is to its credit. And it has every right to take credit for those things. Say, Lang Winchester becomes opposition. They will never praise the government, regardless if he was to get $70,000 raise. Yeah, I think that's safe to say that you are not likely to see too much of it. I think you see some of it. You see some of it, but you don't see too much of it. It's Telefocus Focus that aired after the news back in my day, and that it consistently provides the community with an educated viewpoint. Blessings. I appreciate you saying so. We're going to take our final break. And when we come back, I want to talk about a gentleman who was a true gentleman. I really do. So you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago, I'm your host. We'll be back after this break.
Are you looking to save for a big purchase or occasion? Do you want your money to start making money for you? Well, let me introduce myself. My name is Bond, the Bahamas Government Savings Bond. I am guaranteed to earn interest on your money with terms ranging from 1 to 6 years. Government savings bonds are available to all Bahamians, and for as little as $100, you can start to save for your future. The Bahamas Government Saving Bond, a safe investment guaranteed. Check out the Central Bank of the Bahamas website for details.
You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers. For window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Winning on the court, just like investing, is about consistency and having the right partner. With RF's Advantage Plus brokerage account, you get exclusive access to high return securities, some yielding up to 7%, plus expert investment guidance. No need to chase every opportunity. We deliver priority trading, exclusive investments, and the lowest commissions so you can focus on what matters most. Sign up for an RF Advantage Plus brokerage account today at rfgroup.com. RF Bank and Trust. Money at work.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. Whenever I have occasion to do this, I mostly like to do it at the end of the show so that we don't interrupt the sentiments with anything else that may happen following in the show. I first met Joshua Sayers when I was a junior officer in the Bahamas Investment Authority in the Office of the Prime Minister. And one of the things that stood out to me that became a staple of his disposition was just how professional, gentlemanly, just courteous, and gentle he was. Always that way, a consummate gentleman and a civil servant. I mean, those are words that actually absolutely speak to who Joshua Sayers was. When I met him first, he was a permanent secretary in the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, I believe. And I always thought to myself that, you know, he later on became the Bahamas ambassador to Washington, D.C., when Mr. Ingram had made a determination that he wanted to depoliticize the ambassadorial appointments and put people who had the diplomatic acumen to fill those positions. And I always thought that you probably couldn't find a more diplomatic soul to put in that high diplomatic post than a Joshua Sayers. Just a consummate diplomat, just an outstanding gentleman. You know, you couldn't ruffle him even when the circumstances got highly heated. He was just the calmest, gentlest soul in trying to resolve issues, etc. I mean, just a steady force. Just a steady force. And I admit that when he did decide to run, and he did so for the Exuma constituency, that I was a little surprised, because I mean, someone of his ilk and, you know, just demeanor, I just thought, wow, the politics to attract someone like him, he could only be really connecting himself to something deep down in his love for country and island and so forth. But Joshua Sayers was a really decent person, really one of the best human beings I ever interacted with in the public space. He was really, really wonderful person. And when I became executive director of the Government and Public Policy Institute and had occasion to find people to teach civil servants in a number of areas, we called on Joshua Sayers. Called on him, and he was willing and did his task and did it exceptionally well. I was surprised to learn only a few days ago that he had taken ill. I had not known, and then was shocked really when I heard the news that he had passed away. Let me tell you something, folks. There are a lot of unsung heroes in our nation. People who have given professional life to our country and who did it with real heart. I mean, he did it with heart. He yearned always for the best, for the civil service of the Bahamas and for the public service of the Bahamas and for the governing of the Bahamas and for the Bahamas itself. And you may not know him. You may not have been very familiar with him. But our country was blessed to have Joshua Sayers as one of his sons. You hear me? And I want to join with others. The Prime Minister did it. The Leader of the Opposition did it. I want to join with others who express heartfelt condolences to his wife and family on the passing of this great man, this great Bahamian, this great servant, this very, very decent man, professional man, who served his country well, whether he was in the office as minister of deputy permanent or permanent secretary, having risen in the ranks to permanent secretary, or in the diplomatic service as Bahamas representative, ambassador to Washington, D.C., or to the OAS, represented OAS, or as a candidate, or as an advisor to the government of the Bahamas. It's good. He was a good man. He did a great job for the country. And I know he'll be missed. And I thank God for his service. And again, express profound condolences for my family and all well wishes to his family on his passing. It isn't often that you meet men who can be demonstrably strong and not aggressive, not loud, I'm not one of those men. I'm one of the loud, aggressive ones. But men who can be strong and gentle at the same time. Firm and welcoming at the same time. Joshua Sayers was one of those men. He was definitely one of those men. And I'm delighted that I had occasion to meet him, to befriend him, to sit and talk with him, to have discussions with him, to learn from him, to share with him. Some of the ways in which I understand the civil service and some of my mindsets and disposition toward the civil service grew out of my interaction with senior civil servants, primarily among them, Teresa Butler, Neil Cartwright, Joshua Sayers. There were others, but those three, in my early introduction to the civil service, were quite impactful and quite helpful. What a loss. But God is good, and may he rest in peace and rise in glory, as we like to say. Former ambassador, former permanent secretary, Joshua Sayers. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us today. God's best life. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Be well. Take a step.
stay. Everybody.